This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. The title I have given to the broadcast today is this, Free Salvation That Costs Everything. This apparent contradiction has confused many people over the years. How can eternal salvation in Jesus Christ be free to obtain, yet it will cost you everything you have and everything you are? I will attempt to explain this on the program today. First, I need a moment with my Father in heaven. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin today by noting that some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. Our website is www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact. In Revelation, in the last book of the Bible, in chapter 21, we read that salvation is free. Then the one sitting on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new. Write, for these words are true and faithful." Then he said to me, "These things have happened. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the water of life. It is a free gift." Then in Romans 6:23, it says, "You get what is coming to you when you sin. It is death. But the free gift of God is life that lasts forever. It is given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ." So, while salvation for those who truly believe in Jesus is free to the believer, it costs the Son of God, Jesus Christ, his own life when he died on the crucifixion cross to pay the sin debt for those who would believe in him. But there is a cost, not to receive salvation, not to become saved, but this transformation of the soul will transform the way you live every part of your life. So in that sense, salvation will result in costing you everything, because you will totally commit your entire life to Christ. We all live for something. We start life as a baby, fully committed to pleasing ourselves. As we grow, that usually does not change much. Our focus can become more dispersed among areas that are important to us, such as relationships, careers, or goals, but the bottom line is almost always a desire to please ourselves. The quest for happiness is a universal journey. However, we were not created to live for ourselves. We were designed by God in His image for His pleasure. Read Genesis 1:27. Colossians 1:16. French philosopher Blaise Pascal wrote, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person. It can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ." Throughout history, mankind has attempted to fill that vacuum with everything except God. Religion, philosophy, human relationships, or material gain, nothing satisfies, as evidenced by the universal desperation, greed, and general hopelessness that characterizes the history of man. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. In Isaiah 45:5, God says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God." The Bible is the story of God seeking man because mankind is spiritually dead and cannot seek God without the help of God. When we come to the place of recognizing life is not about ourselves, we are ready to stop running from God and allow Him to take over. The only way any of us can have a relationship with a holy God is to admit that we are sinners, to turn away from that sin and accept the sacrifice that Jesus made to pay for sin. We confess our sin, thank Jesus for making a way for us to be forgiven, and invite Him to take control of our lives. Coming to God through faith in Jesus Christ means we transfer ownership of our lives to God. We make him the boss, the Lord of our lives. We trade our old self-worshipping hearts for the perfection of Jesus. Here I am, God. I am a sinner, but you love me anyway. Thank you for dying for me and rising from the dead so my sin could be forgiven. Cleanse me, forgive me, and make me your child. Take me, all of me. I want to live for you from now on. Can you pray a prayer like that? You can if you want to. When we offer ourselves to God, He sends His Holy Spirit to live within our spirits. Life is no longer about doing whatever we want. We belong to Jesus. From the moment we give our lives to God, the Holy Spirit gives us the power and desire to live for God. He changes our want to. As we submit ourselves daily to Him, pray, read the Bible, worship, and fellowship with other Christians, we grow in our faith and in our understanding of how to please God. See 2 Peter 3:18. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Luke 9:23. Often the path God wants for us leads a different direction from the one we or our friends would choose. It is the choice between the broad way and the narrow way. You see, Jesus taught about two roads and two doors in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus said, "Go in through the narrow door. The door is wide and the road is easy that leads to hell. Many people are going through that door. But the door is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life that lasts forever. Few people are finding it." Jesus knows the purpose for which He created us. Discovering that purpose and living it is the secret to real happiness. Following Jesus is the only way we will ever find it. So, what did Jesus mean when He said to count the cost in Luke 14:28? Let's look at that. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus lays out the terms of discipleship. There were great crowds following Him. Everyone loved the miracles, healing, and free food. Jesus was cool, the talk of the town, and the latest fad. But He knew their hearts. He knew they desired the benefits of what He did, rather than an understanding of who He was. They loved His gifts, not the life He was calling them to. So He explained what it takes to be one of His followers. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Those are the words of Jesus in Luke 14. Jesus said a lot in those simple illustrations. He quickly put an end to the idea that he offered some kind of welfare program. Although the gift of eternal life is free to anyone who asks, see John 3:16, the asking requires a transfer of ownership, Luke 9:23, Galatians 5:24. Counting the cost means recognizing and agreeing to some terms first. In following Christ, we cannot simply follow our own inclinations. We cannot follow Him and the world's way at the same time. Following Him may mean we lose relationships, dreams, material things, or even our lives. Those who are following Jesus simply for what they can get will not remain when the going gets tough. When the way of God conflicts with our way, we will feel betrayed by the shallow, me-first faith that we have bought into. If we have not counted the cost of being His child, we will turn away at the threat of sacrifice and find something else to gratify our selfish desires. When Jesus was on the earth, there came a time when the free food stopped and public opinion turned ugly. The cheering crowds became jeering crowds, and Jesus knew ahead of time that that would happen. Jesus ended his description of the cost of discipleship with a breathtaking statement. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14:33. Many people approach Christianity the same way. They love the idea of eternal life, escaping hell, and having Jesus at their beck and call. But they are not willing to leave the life they now live. Their desires, lifestyle, and sinful habits are just too precious to them. Their lives may exhibit a token change, starting to attend church or giving up a major sin, but they want to retain ownership of everything else. Jesus is speaking in Luke 14 to those with that mindset. We cannot earn salvation by lifestyle change or any other good deed. Read Ephesians 2:8 and 9. This is crucial. But when we choose to follow Christ, we are releasing control of our lives. When Jesus is in control, pure living results. If we are going to be disciples of Christ, we must first count the cost of following Him. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, honestly, sincerely repent, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the web address of Vision for Christ World so you may contact us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done to provide salvation for people as they believe in Jesus. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address, www.visionforchristworld.com, and search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal, saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our accomplishments, achievements, and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever.